Yes, sir. Welcome in on a Monday. Not just any Monday, but it's the beginning of the week of the Broward County National Football Showcase, which means the national audience for high school football will be kind of following what happens here from Thursday right up until Saturday. The Saturday games obviously will be the biggest games, will be on ESPN. Beginning at 2 o'clock with number one. And this is the great thing about the Broward Showcase, because last year out of the top 10, they had four teams. The year before, they had five teams. And this year, they'll have the number one and two teams in the country playing on Saturday, not against each other, although that would have been a pretty decent deal. But they did, St. Thomas played Bishop Gorman of Las Vegas, 2 years ago. Great game, came down to the wire, but we'll get more into that throughout the program. Like I said, it's great to be here on this Monday. Next week we'll be in with you on a Wednesday. As I said, we bounce around a little bit, but nevertheless, we're here and we're keeping you abreast. Dan Day's with us this evening, and I am honored to have Dan Day, LSU fan, and one of the great guys here at 104.3 WQAM, and certainly Trevor on vacation this week, but he deserves it. But this is going to be a really interesting week, you know, as far as the showcase, because we got underway last week, couple of upsets, but the really good teams, and we got a chance to see University of Miami commitments on Friday evening, the first game of the showcase, Jacksonville Mandarin playing against Hollywood MacArthur. And you got a chance to see two commitments for MacArthur. And then obviously the quarterback from Jacksonville Mandarin, who's a junior 2028 commitment to the University of Miami, Knox Annis. But fans also had the opportunity to see the nation's number one class of 2028 junior, Bryson Wright, who is a big time kid, very, you know, that's what you always look at. You know, you say, well, that guy's a five star. You know, I'm not heavy into the stars, but that guy's an elite player. And first play of the game, Bryson jumps a pass and intercepts the ball. And you say to yourself, oh, okay, that's why. And MacArthur went on to lose the game. It shows you the competition that we have, and there's so much competition throughout. Had an opportunity to go to a couple of games last week. Thursday night, got a little glimpse of Chaminade Madonna. Everybody worried that the Lions, who have been to the state finals 10 straight years, which is not too bad, had an opportunity to kick things off against Monarch. Game went about 2.5 quarters before, obviously, you know how it is here. That's why I'm a big campaigner of let's start this season last 2 weeks ago, because, and let's give two open weeks just in case games, because you know how it is here, August, September, maybe into the end of September, there's lightning, there's bad weather all over the darn place. And we get a lot of games that are simply postponed and not just, you know, not just put off to another day, because they're not district games. And so they, and a lot of these teams don't have another opening to, you know, or they don't have an opening at the same time to play. So if it's a district game, they have to play. So what they do is they kind of force you to play on a Monday, then come back on a Thursday or Friday and play. And that's a lot, but that's why, like I said, I've been a huge advocate of having those just statewide, not just here, because, you know, you never know. I mean, you get into the, you know, the heart of the hurricane season and into to now up until the early part of October, late September, and the entire state, you know, I mean, it's been affected the last couple years in the panhandle. Couple years ago, a lot of those panhandle games were canceled and put out, and obviously you feel, you know, really bad because of the fact that a lot of these people are displaced. So forget about playing football, which I understand, you know, it comes secondary, but when you think of the ramifications, it could be, you know, I mean, it could mean, you know, less film exposures that you can send out to colleges, especially for the seniors. So the weather really, you know, and I know it's been like this forever, but they've always, for some reason, been able to reschedule a lot of these games because there are, especially with the scheduling how it is now, a lot of teams may only come into the season with 9 games because maybe somebody dropped them, you know, a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, and then they try to, you know, fill those games, but it's not so easy. You know, because a lot of these teams have their full 10 games and they don't have openings. So when a program drops football or has to start their season 2 weeks later because they don't have enough players, that affects a lot of people, you know, and it affects perhaps a livelihood or an opportunity for a prospect. You know, to send out extra film to the colleges, you know, to get known and to get seen. And yeah, so that's why I've been, you know, an advocate, and you know, I've conveyed it to the FHSAA and to some of the people up there, Craig Damon, the head of the FHSAA. I said, you know, you wouldn't, I mean, if you're starting school August 1st, which is crazy because we used to start in September. You know, I mean, but they're starting now in the first week of August, and then they practice. They let you practice last week of July. So by the second week, they're having little scrimmages, and then that third week is the kickoff classics. So I say, forget about the kickoff classics because you're already ready to go. And play that week. So what it does is it gives you an extra week instead of having one bye during the season. You'll get two open weeks. Shouldn't say bye, but I mean two open weeks. So that helps you in the scheduling. And I know it sounds trivial, and I know it sounds like, you know, what the hell? You know, I mean, what does it matter? But it does matter because, like I said, they'll work like a dog to make up the district games because they have to, because it bears on the standing. But now with the points the way they are, and now this open division that's based on your schedule, who you play, you know, you could be 8-2, you could be 9-1. You don't have to be a perfect 10-0 to advance to this open division, which are 8 teams. So that's why I said it's important. And I think adding that extra week, and maybe they'll do it next year instead of playing, they're meaningless. Because if you have scrimmages, you're really getting an opportunity to see what you have and seeing the athletes that you have. So it's not one of those things that, you know, I mean, if you eliminate that kickoff classic weekend, which is like an exhibition game, look, they're trying to do it in the NFL. As you see, they're trying to make less and less exhibition games because now with the advent of the midweek practices, you know, the scrimmages between the two teams, which they get so much more out of, you know, I mean, the fans, you can save the fans $500, you know, I mean, we go over that a lot because going to a Dolphin game, I mean, I'm telling you, second mortgage type of stuff. I mean, you take a family, especially during the season, $150 a ticket, you know, there's 6 bills right there before you even get out of your car. Then you got to park, and I've seen it $50-$75 just to park. So you're almost at $675 before you walk in the stadium. So you almost want to stop at the, you know, a dollar store to get all that candy and stuff because heck yeah, if you buy a couple of, you know, adult beverages at those games, it's going to get you into it could get you $100 just alone just having a few, you know, cold ones there, or even sodas, you know, are like $12 now. So yeah, and listen, I know everybody has to make money, and it's a big, you know, it's a big revenue sport, but still, that's why I love what the Marlins do, because the Marlins, you go a midweek game against, not like tonight with the, or, you know, with the Red Sox, but I'm talking about when they're playing, you know, just an average Washington team on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You go, you could park for $10, you know, across the street if you want, or in the thing. You get a ticket for $10, $12, $15, and then they have an area there now where you get like $3 hot dogs and a couple of, so to me, the Marlins for a professional team in town is the best value. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you want to go and you get a lot of experience out of it, and you know, it's a different feeling than having to go to a hockey game or, you know, a basketball game. And then that's why I say, you know, I mean, these ticket prices are not cheap. And you know, you look at the high school games, and even them, you know, you look at some of the showcase games, you know, you could pay $15 to get in. I remember when, you know, we were kids, it was like a dollar, you know, and or 50, 75 cent ticket. I still have a ticket stub for one of the games of the 70s. I think it was like, you know, 75 cents to get in a high school game. Now, not so much. And I understand, you know, everything's gone up, and you have to pay, you know, this and that, you know, you have to have security, and you have to have people to work the game. But yeah, everything costs a little bit. That's why when you get an opportunity to go to see some of these youth football or high school football, you jump at the chance, because especially in this area, and Dan knows too, because from being from Louisiana, you in that New Orleans area. I mean, you go to a high school game in that New Orleans area, and you're going to see Pat Surtain, and you're going to see the Mannings, and you're going to see, you know, you're going to see Reed. You're going to see a lot of these guys who are going to be high-level college. And same thing in the Virginia Beach area, you know, with the Michael Vicks and the Allen Iverson. So it's not – and Houston as well. So it's not just South Florida, but we do have an abundance of talent that, you know, that you could see on any Thursday or Friday night down here when they're 16, 17, and 18 years old. Because then, as we know with Jeremiah Smith or Malachi Toney or, you know, Dalvin Cook or any of these guys that have come out of here and have gone on to the next level and then gone on to the level after that, like our leading rusher in the NFL last year, James Cook from Miami Central. You know, with the Buffalo Bills, played at Georgia. So, yeah, if you get an opportunity, and we've said it over and over again, especially, you know, in a few minutes when we talk to James Knapp from the Broward Education Foundation, who's really undertaken this whole, you know, Broward Showcase deal over the last 5 years, now the fifth year. And you bring in teams, you know, from all over the country. And, you know, like they've had, like I said, you know, this year it's Bishop Gorman and a couple of other programs from California. And then you have McEachern, Georgia. You know, in the past you had St. Joe's of Pennsylvania, and you had, you know, teams from Virginia and a team from North Carolina a couple of years ago as well. So that gives you an opportunity to see a lot of these players, especially on Saturday. You're going to see in those two games, in those four teams, more talent than you'll see anywhere else in the country on one field one day. Because you have, with Bishop Gorman, they're loaded. St. Thomas, I mean, they have like four power four running backs alone without having a Mark Matthews who's going to Texas A&M, or Zayden Gamble and Julius Jones Jr., former New Orleans Saint, and his dad played at Notre Dame. So you're going to have them. Then you're looking at a Columbus team that's loaded with talent. Then the DeSoto team from Texas, who's has upwards of 9-10 commitments to power four schools in the Division One type of school. So yeah, you've got an opportunity to see a lot of talent when these kids are younger. So you'll have an opportunity to say, hey, I saw the Bosa brothers, you know, play, or, you know, I saw some of those guys that are doing, you know, Isaac Bruce and Michael Irvin and some of these players that you get a chance to see when they're at a high school level. So obviously, you know, with the showcase coming up this week and having so many really, really good teams, you're going to get an opportunity, just even the local games. You know, we're going to be talking a little bit later to Chris Yergin, head coach at Coconut Creek. Now, they have a really good team, and they're playing against True North of Miami. So that's the one thing that the showcase has added, to not only have Broward County teams, but also regional teams and statewide teams. Jacksonville Bulls will be down, and Jacksonville Bulls has a couple of kids. Mark Edwards' son, Xander Edwards, who's one of the best running backs in the country. Mark Edwards playing with the 49ers, and he played, you know, at Notre Dame. They'll be down. You have an opportunity. We're going to speak to Kareem Reed, who's the head coach at McEachern in Georgia, and former local player, you know, from Broward County, coached here as well. You know, went to UCF and Kentucky. So, I mean, I'm saying, so you get a lot of coaches who were Dayton Broward County bred, you know, and taught a lot down here. And now they moved to other places, but they come back. And he's got an opportunity, you know, on to see what's going on, especially in his game. They're playing West Broward. And then you have a couple of other games going on as well. As I said, Chaminade, who will be in action on Thursday, they kind of get things kicked off, in that game. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, they get an opportunity to play against Sierra Canyon of California. So, yep, it's going to be pretty interesting. As I said, we have quite a show this evening. Around 7:35, head coach Roger Harriott from the 7-time defending state champion St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders. He'll join us about 7:25 or so. Head coach Dave Dunn from Christopher Columbus. They'll be squaring off with Bishop Gorman on Saturday. He's loaded with talent as well. As I mentioned, too, Kareem Reed, the head coach at McEachern in Georgia, he's going to join us at about 7:05. We talked about Coconut Creek being involved in the event. That'll be at Coach Chris Yergin will join us around 6:50. We'll talk Hurricane football this evening. Danny Enriquez, D Money from Canes Insight. Hurricanes will open a week from Friday. How about that? That was a quick turnaround. It'll be out on the West Coast playing against Stanford. And in just a few minutes, we'll touch base with one of the main guys who's been responsible for the Broward County Showcase from the Broward Education Foundation, James Knapp. So great show. I hope you're going to be with us up until 8 o'clock. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day here on a Monday evening, taking you up until 8 o'clock. Glad you could be with us. Special week it is, the Broward County National Showcase football games. Started out last Friday with MacArthur and Jacksonville Mandarin, and it will begin once again on Thursday. And I'll tell you what, this event takes an army. It really does. I mean, everybody who's behind it, I know that, you know, up front, we see Sean Serra and obviously a bunch of other people. We had Dr. Kevin Perry on last week who kind of thought of the idea, but there's got to be a motor behind it. And that motor is the Broward Education Foundation. James Knapp, president and CEO, former FIU standout, great guy. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't find a better person to be behind an event. He's kind enough to join us. James, thanks so much for taking the time. And obviously, you know that all the times that you and I have talked and spent together, that your passion for this game and for education, especially in Broward County, is unmatched.
Yeah, it's a big deal for us. And I appreciate you, Blue. And thank you for having us on, but also being a part of this, what we're trying to do for this community and for these students. Because, you know, like you said, I'm not only just, you know, from here, but it means a lot. And, you know, we're born and bred and just want to continue to give these student athletes and these coaches and our community the great, you know, vision and that they deserve and the exposure that they deserve for the next level.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, as well as I do, you know, it's not just about football. It's kind of developing a student athlete and getting to make sure that what happens in the classroom, because, you know, tomorrow somebody could get injured or they stop playing football, but they need something to fall back on. And obviously, you know, I think we especially in the industry that I'm in, a lot of times, you know, especially now with the transfer portal and with the NIL deals, we kind of de-emphasized going on to campus and then actually going to class. And then, you know, I mean, last year, I know it was kind of a tongue in cheek thing, you know, with Carson Beck, but during the national championship game, you know, he told one of the reporters he hadn't been to a class in 2 years, which, you know, doesn't bode very well when you're selling this, you know, to a 15, 16, 17 year old kid. Because I remember back in the day, James, when, you know, somebody like Anton Smith out of Pahokee told me when he went on his visit to FSU, he never even went to the athletic area. He wanted to go and see how the academics were, and how wanted to talk to the regular students and see how campus life was, which I think is kind of a missing ingredient in this whole thing. And you guys are really busting tail to try to bring that back and try to add that balance. Talk about that, because I think that, you know, as an educator and somebody, we need to bring that back. We need to make the emphasis of going to college, you know, paramount, and not just a time to, you know, strap it up and play football every Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I think even when I went to college, right, how many of the assistant coaches were doing classroom checks, right, and standing outside with a roster making sure that you're going to class. I'm not really sure how often that's happening. Maybe Mario's still kind of doing that over there. I could see him doing that, because I remember when he was doing that when, you know, before. But I think what we're trying to promote right now, right, I mean, what we're a part of here in Broward, right, 3x A district in Broward County Public Schools, and everything that we're doing, and really doing education as a whole, and how do we continue to promote education and being lifelong learners, right? So you might not go to college to be, you know, to be an athlete, but, you know, you might go to trade school, which is, you know, a huge thing for us now, and just offering the opportunity for everybody to kind of meet them where they're at. And we want everybody to understand that education isn't just for those who, you know, for certain levels of economic stability, but it's an opportunity for everybody, and it can change the direction of everything that you do and your family. But we continue to promote that within the foundation. So it's exciting.
Yeah, 100%. We started this off last week, kind of a 2 week type of deal now. You got the Friday game at MacArthur, Jacksonville Manor, really good football program, came down to play MacArthur and Coach Robert Ortega, and beat the Mustangs, kind of interesting game, but it kind of showcased talent. But we kicked things back up this Thursday. Two really good games. Sierra Canyon coming in from California, getting a chance to play a 10-time state finalist, Hollywood Chaminade Madonna. They've been there 10 years in a row. It's crazy. They're playing that at MacArthur High School. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday. And then at the same time, West Broward, which was a finalist last year in 6A, will be playing McEachern, Georgia, coached by Kareem Reed, who educated in Broward County, coached here at quite a few schools, and he has a really, really good program. Two good games to start things off.
Yeah, we're excited about that, obviously, what we could do. I mean, it'll show you just what this means to all of the schools playing in it. Sierra Canyon is already here, right? They landed this morning. They're preparing and, you know, wanting to be prepared for the game that's, you know, that they feel is probably, you know, the game that's going to lead them into whatever's next, and hopefully a state championship for them over there, but also somewhere where it's, you know, nationally ranked. So it's exciting for us, obviously, to have all of these schools involved, but to show, but for them to also come in and show how much it matters to them and how much it means to them, and how many people are knocking down the door to the, you know, to Dr. Perry and to Sean all year of like, hey, I want to be a part of this. So, you know, none of this is on accident. All of this is on purpose. And as you mentioned, we have a ton of games. But, you know, I must say that none of this is possible without people like you, but also, you know, partners like Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital, you know, Visit Lauderdale. We also have BCAA and some others, and Adidas and Dave & Buster's. And we want to give them the bowl game experience, but we want to give them the experience that they deserve, and continue to do that at the highest level. That's why they fly here, because, you know, we like to say the road to the national championship runs through Broward. And we want to make sure to keep doing that.
Yeah, no doubt. Friday, four good games. East St. Louis against a Heritage team that I had a chance to see last week. I know they were undermanned. They had quite a few players out for that game. East St. Louis loaded with talent, as we see every year. Big-time running back, kid that will be going to Auburn. One of those massive running backs who has a lot of speed. Then a good South Florida matchup. I kind of helped put this one together, True North Classical Academy, coached by former University of Miami lineman Greg LaFaire, playing against Coconut Creek, a really good team. I think they're one of the best public schools in Broward County. They've done a great job over the last couple of years, keeping their kids and, you know, developing some really good talent. Then a marquee game out at McCarthy High School in Southwest Ranches. As Archbishop McCarthy will play Jacksonville Bulls, loaded with talent, always good. A finalist last year in the state 2A game. They got two of the top juniors in the country. Obviously, you know, Mark Edwards' son at running back, Xander Edwards, who had a really big game against Monarch last year when they came. And then the final game, Pine Creek of Colorado, a good program from the Colorado area playing against Western. And that game will be at MacArthur. So four good games on Friday, and then kind of sets the table as an hors d'oeuvre for Saturday, because you got number one and two in the country. How about that? And we've had, as I said before, we've had a couple years ago, you had 1, 2, 5, and 6 in the country. Now you have 1 and 2 on the same day, ESPN, 2 o'clock, Christopher Columbus of Miami, kind of a retooled team with Coach Dave Dunn, who we'll talk to later in the program, against Bishop Gorman. It was weird because this afternoon I flipped in that Bosco tape of the other night, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, could a college team be any bigger than Gorman? I mean, they are stacked. So they'll play at 2 o'clock, and then DeSoto. Kevin Perry and I had a kind of shame Texas into coming to Florida, because they talk that big game all the time, but they never want to travel. And DeSoto is one of the better teams, you know, over the years. Tim Brown came out of that school, a lot of really good athletes. They'll play St. Thomas Aquinas, and arguably the best team in the state of Florida. You know, I mean, this is what Roger Harriet's done with that program. So you've got some really good games, James, and obviously fans have an opportunity to come out and see them. I know you could go see one game each on Thursday and Friday, but Saturday you get over there for a doubleheader. Let everybody know how they can get and have an opportunity. How can they get tickets and you know, for all the games?
So you can go to a couple different places, but you know, you can go to the Broward Education Foundation website, but you can also go to hometownticketing.com. That's a way to get your tickets. And I was listening to a bit of your segment before, and you know, the lack of feasibility of trying to get to some of these games, these are beyond affordable. And for you to be able to see, like you were mentioning, that some of the greatest talent that you're going to see assembled on one day on Saturday for sure, but also locally here on that Friday and Thursday is a great opportunity. So hometownticketing.com, but also you can go to any of the many websites, you know, including Broward Education Foundation, and we can, and you can find those tickets there. But yeah, please come by, come support. And if you can't get there in person, come see it online as well. So it'll be on Beacon TV. So we're very, very proud of the Beacon TV and Chuck and Brandon for streaming this, because this gets it out to everybody.
Good stuff. James, I can't thank you enough, man. I'm looking forward to all the games, opportunity to see some really good football Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll see you Thursday night at Coconut Creek, or is it Friday night we'll see you at Coconut Creek? Thursday, we'll be over at MacArthur for the Chaminade game. We're excited. Yep. Again, thank you for making time for us on a Monday.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you to the community for continuing to support what we're trying to do here with Broward County and education. Just thank you guys so much.
Good stuff. James Knapp, president and CEO of the Broward Education Foundation. Great guy, great cause, tremendous program, and certainly they're a backbone behind this Broward County National Showcase, which is going to really peg the meter this year with some really, really good teams, especially on Saturday. And one day soon, they will be headed to the next level. And that next level here is South Florida, University of Miami, a program that has really turned the corner over the last year and a half under head coach Mario Cristobal. And they will be opening up a week from Friday on the West Coast against Stanford at 9 o'clock. Somebody who's been on top of this thing at the University of Miami, no matter what sport, but Danny Enriquez, they call him D-Money from Canes Insight, is always on the spot. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Danny, thanks so much for dropping by and making time for us on a Monday evening.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Camp is rolling. I mean, really kind of rolling to a conclusion here with Stanford somewhat on the horizon, sort of a middle period between the end of camp and preparing for Stanford. So team's pretty much ready to go. Hayes in the barn and getting ready to start the season.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've had an opportunity, obviously, not only to watch Miami, but you've seen the building process, and you've been there for camps. I see you during the summer. You come not only for the Legends camp, but a lot of the, you know, team camps that they have and the 7-on-7s, and get an opportunity to maybe talk to some of the athletes. And, you know, and this Broward showcase certainly started off with a bang by having some local players who will be, you know, headed towards the University of Miami and crossing their fingers with Bryson Wright. I know that Knox Annis, the quarterback from Jacksonville Mandarin, is kind of, you know, hitting his friend up every day, maybe to kind of pay attention to University of Miami. Talk about this process, because, you know, you and I talked, you know, on your great podcast about how Miami's kind of parlayed. Yeah, they're getting a lot of the kids through the portal, but Miami's probably recruiting high school talent better than they have probably since the 80s. Talk about that, because the mix of talent that they're getting in, you know, the great kids, you know, the Wards and guys like that that they bring in through the portal. But at the same time, you know, you get a Marquise Fitzgerald as a freshman, step in, O.J. Frederick, step in as freshman and do a job. And now they have the number 2-3 class for the next cycle. Talk about that and how that's kind of fueled this program to being one of the best in the country.
Well, look, in terms of the talent level they're bringing in, I can't ever overlook, and I know you remember it because you covered it. I remember reading you when it was happening, sort of the Butch Davis turn of the century classes. I don't know if that will ever be top, just in terms of, like, you know, multiple Hall of Famers, multiple Pro Bowlers, almost every single class. And that was with restrictions. Certainly weren't able to do what you do with NIL, but I mean, they didn't even have scholarships in some of the cases. So I don't know if that'll ever be top. I don't want to overstate it, but certainly recruiting at an extraordinarily high level. I think really where you see the biggest gains, and this has been since Morrow's been here, is on the line of scrimmage in terms of defensive linemen, offensive linemen. I think that's the right way to recruit high schools. Who knows what the portal will look like in a couple of years, but with the way the rules are set up now, you can get great quarterbacks in the portal. You can get great receivers, and Miami's recruiting those positions in high school as well. But those big guys, those big offensive linemen, the Francis Malinoas of the world, the Reuben Baines, they are extremely hard to get in the portal. So I think Miami, more than anything, has done a really, really good job of landing those positions. Brought Jaden, just in this current recruiting class, you have Jaden Bryant, the five-star defensive end. You have some big, big offensive linemen after landing a monster class last year with Jackson Cantwell, number one offensive lineman in the country. Ben Congdon this year, you got Sean Tatum, a guy I know you like, out of that Treasure Coast area. So they've been very consistent. This is just a couple names, but they've been very consistent since Morrow's been here at prioritizing the trenches, developing those guys, and bringing them in from the high school level.
Yeah, no doubt. Danny Enriquez joining us. Canes Insight does a great job, not only with the writing, but also the podcast as well. You have an army of people all over the place covering everything and getting things, you know, as they happen. And certainly a lot happening with this program, a lot of expectations after a national championship contest appearance, a game that a lot of people never thought would happen this soon. But they're way ahead of the curve. Talk about this year's team, what you expect. I mean, you have some new faces, obviously. You lost some big-time guys, but Miami looks like they're in the mode, Danny, of, yeah, they're losing a Bain, they're losing a Messidor, but they have so much talent. They brought in the kid Wilson from Missouri, by the way, at Georgia and Venice High School. They have a load of talent that is ready to step in. Their defensive front, you know, even though they lost those two huge parts, has an opportunity to be just as effective. The linebacking core is kind of coming around a little bit. They have two veterans that come back, good secondary. And then the offense, which you and I talk, this is an offense that should average 40-plus every game. Talk about the anticipation for this year.
Anticipation's just out of this world, because it's unusual for Miami to be in this position where there's expectations and they're real. You get excited. We've kind of convinced ourselves that this would be the year, but now you have a team that everybody kind of knows is going to be a contender. They proved it last year, 4-1 against top 10 teams. So I think that's what's different about this level of anticipation. It's not so much a wish and a hope. It's more, hey, we saw it last year against the very best teams in the country. Now they bring back a lot of players, add players, like you mentioned, Damon Wilson, Darian Mensa, Cooper Barcade. So it's a lot more real, and I think Miami is really relevant both in the minds of recruits, which you asked about earlier, high school kids, which I know you feel just being on those fields and in those environments and seeing the more authentic energy for the program because they've had success. It just feels different in that way. So I think the anticipation is less, I want to say, hopeful or kind of wishful and more based in reality because you saw these guys last year against real competition. Morrow's been proven in other stops, and these players are the highest level of talent. So you don't know you're going to win a championship or compete for a championship even. It's so competitive. The margins are so small. But you know you have a chance based on what you bring back and what you're able to accomplish last year.
Yeah, no doubt. A week from Friday, how about that? Those off seasons are long. For Miami, it's a lot shorter than it probably has ever been since they played into the third week of January of this year. Usually, you don't have that. A lot of these teams that finish up in December, you know, because we kind of look at the high school teams and then see when they kicked off last week and they go, oh my gosh, you know, for a lot of these teams, they hadn't played since the second week of November before Thanksgiving of last year in a meaningful game. Yeah, they have spring and they have a lot of 7-on-7s, but obviously these off seasons are long. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the regular season in high school and college zips along so quickly. Danny, let everybody know how they could follow you guys. I mean, because you do such a great job, as I said. I mean, I love your podcast, too. You have a lot of great guests. You talk about everything. Let everybody know how they could get you and follow you. Also, social media as well.
I don't know if any guest gets better numbers than Larry Bluestein, but yeah, we have a few. appreciate the kind words. Yeah, you can find me every morning on Kane's Insight on YouTube, which is daily show, 9 o'clock, go live, go about an hour and a half talking Canes. We've got guests on like Larry, just different people around the country. Amon Richards, one of the greatest, most talented receivers to ever come through Miami, would have been probably playing the NFL right now if not for some unfortunate injuries. He's kind enough to join us Monday, Wednesday, Friday, providing that player insight and all kinds of guests. And we are every day also on canesinsight.com. You can download the app in the App Store, social media, canes.insight, Instagram, all over the place. Just trying to give everybody the Canes news they need with the excitement around the program. And again, Larry, appreciate you having me. Everybody knows, but you are a legend, and you've seen this cycle go through once or twice. So if you see the signs that this thing is going to be a real thing and the Canes are going to be around for a while, I believe it.
Yeah, well, I love being on with you guys. It's a lot of fun, and we'll do it again. And again, thanks, Danny, for taking the time, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Good job. Danny Enriquez from Canes Insight. They do a tremendous job. That podcast is really good. They have a lot of really good guests. You learn a lot. And that's one of the things I always tell people, that when we have guests, we want you to learn something that you didn't know before the guests came on. You know, recovery isn't a guessing game. It's a science. Let the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute help you recover your game. Your comeback starts at uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. When we come back, we wrap up hour number one. Head coach Chris Juergen from Coconut Creek is on deck. Larry Gleustein, Dan Day, we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Special show, Broward County National Showcase Week. And one of the teams taking place, obviously we have that local matchup, will be on Friday evening at his place at Coconut Creek. Coach Chris Juergen is kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And how about that? You're in the Broward County Showcase, get an opportunity to play a team from South Florida and Miami True North. I know you guys are excited coming off a big win over Plantation to start off the year. And as I said, you're one of the programs that everybody's be watching this year. Talk about that and an opportunity to play in such a prestigious event.
Thanks, Larry, for having me. And I just want to say thank you, for always showcasing our guys and doing it the right way and showcasing not just our guys, but all these South Florida kids You do a great job at doing that, and you know we appreciate you. But yeah, we're excited about planning it. We thank the Showcase guys, Sean, and all those guys there that put this great event together. And it's something it's a national showcase, and nowhere across the nation they do this. When you got all these great teams coming down here in South Florida, but also too with the new piece they put with it this year is Brow versus Dade. We're really excited about it. Also too, that Dade and Broward, that competition, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you played in it before you play, they stuck you against Teddy Bridgewater and Northwestern right off the bat. I mean, but this is a game, and especially because you guys have been able to develop this team over the last couple of years and having an opportunity to play, at home against a program like True North, who had a nice year last year, a 10-3, they came up with a big win over Columbus last year as well. Talk about your team, because, we talk about a lot of these programs and it's tough to hold on to your players in this day and age. Everybody wants to go here or there for some crazy reason, thinking that the grass is always greener. But you guys have been able to hold on to your players because you have them for so long. You've had a lot of these kids, when they were eighth graders going in the ninth grade, and you've been able to help them develop not only as football players, but student athletes and also as young men. Talk about that, because a lot of program people don't realize what you guys do over there in that positive way. And I think that's something that needs to be, said, and a lot of people need to understand that. Yeah, you're about football, but you're about life as well.
Absolutely, and we're big on that. We're big on, building the man. And these young men will be men soon, so we're big on that. I mean, also, too, showing them that we care, outside of football. Because so when football season is over, we don't stop. We still connected to our guys, even when they leave and go to college or they go take up a trade. We've built that into the culture that we have here at Coconut Creek. Because a lot of coaches, after the football season, these kids don't see these coaches no more. They don't have a relationship with them. So what we do, we make sure that we're building this relationship with these kids, making sure that they understand that, you got men that actually love you, and care for you and want to make sure that you do what's right. And it goes around the county. That if a kid leaves here, it's a reason why, because we do keep our kids. And we do a good job at that, of taking them on college tours, spending time with them, making sure that they eat every day. And it's just a family atmosphere here, that we've created and built. And also too, Larry, our staff has been together 6 or 7 years. We're very consistent with our staff. And also too, we don't allow anybody just to join our staff. Because we got to be able to trust you, because we built this thing like a family.
Yeah, no, I agree. And not only that, you have an opportunity, and I see you guys at a lot of events. You go to a lot of, camps. You send the kids, to 7-on-7s, giving them an opportunity, during the course of the off season, to compete. And that's what the kids want. They don't want to stay home, on a Friday or a Saturday. They want to go out and play 7-on-7. And, a lot of the linemen now, with the advent of these 5-versus-5 line camps, a lot of these lines are getting much better and much bigger, and giving them the opportunity. But the one thing too, and you just mentioned it being part of the family, and I know all your coaches, and that's the one thing too. They support these young men and your administration. You got to give a shout out to an administration that has been there, right there for you, supporting, giving you what you need, an athletic director that, understands. Talk about that, because a lot of people don't single that out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So our administration here, we got full support. So last year we had Dr. Neer as the principal. She did, she supported us fully. Whatever the football team needed, she was there for us. And she made sure that, that we kept the standard. But also, too, now we have another principal, Ms. G. And you're talking about somebody that's amazing. She has came in and kept this thing going for us and fully support what we do. And, Larry, I always tell parents here that we don't allow anybody that's to come. If you come in our program, we're going to meet with you. We're going to sit down with the parents. We're going to tell the parents what our expectations are. Also, too, one of the things that we do is that, and maybe I shouldn't say this on the radio because other schools may start doing it, but it's all good. But also, too, we're not a uniform school. But every football player that walks in this building their uniforms. So they have on Coconut Creek football shirts, collar shirts, polos. We don't allow them to wear slides. They have to have on khaki or pants. So we're building it just like Roger has over at St. Thomas, just like Jones have it over at Chaminade. So we're building our program the same way. Well, my athletic director, Charles Hendricks, he's probably one of the best AADs around, you know, to fully support what we're doing, fully support the vision. You know, we really tells us no because we try to do things the right way. So it makes it easier for me and our staff to build what we have because of the support that we have from administration and also to Patty Brown and her crew down at the district office.
Yeah, and not only that, as we're speaking with Coach Chris Yergin, the head coach at Coconut Creek, you got an opportunity, you know, to come off a win against Plantation. What did you get from that game, and what did you get from the preseason that, you know, obviously you got a tough schedule now. As we said, True North's really good program, but even after that, you guys are really going to get into the meat of the schedule. What have you guys taken away from the last couple of weeks that that'll be beneficial, you know, in the next couple of weeks?
Yes. Chemistry. Okay. You know, our standard is our standard, which we will never change. But the chemistry these last few weeks, that's very, very important on what we're trying to build because, you know, once you get into the meat of your schedule, chemistry, it matters. You know, guys understanding their responsibility, guys understanding, you know, looking at the film and breaking down the film, understanding what their opponent is doing. You know, those are the things that we're getting now. You know, True North is a – really good. You know, they got one of the best quarterbacks in South Florida with the Kid Cats, and they got a big old offensive tackle, got receivers everywhere. They're very athletic. So we have to be disciplined. We have to be focused because this is one of those games that it can go either way because I think that we evenly match.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you took the game. I'm glad that I could assist because I thought this would be one of those great games. Friday night, 7 o'clock over at Coconut Creek. Coach, again, thank you enough for making time for us. We'll see you over there on Friday.
I appreciate you, Jet Larry. Thank you again for everything, man. You do a great job, man. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks. Chris Yergin, class act, does a great job. That's going to end hour number one. Wow, that went fast. I'll tell you what. Don't go away. Big time second hour coming up right after the break. And we welcome you back for hour number two. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, taking you up right up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us. Big night, kind of a special show that we have this evening, devoting it to the Broward County National Football Showcase that started out on Thursday with Jacksonville Mandarin beating MacArthur. We'll continue this week on Thursday, Friday, and as we mentioned, the two games on Saturday on national television on ESPN. The number one and two teams in the country will be in action in the early game at 2 o'clock when Bishop Gorman, number one in the country, will take on Miami Christopher Columbus. And then 6 o'clock game, the host team, St. Thomas Aquinas, who number two now as of today with the loss of St. John Bosco, will take on DeSoto of Texas, a program that has done really well over the last decade plus, and certainly some really good teams. Again, if you miss any of the interviews that we have this evening, just check out WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page, and we have our podcast section, and there we will. We'll right after the show, plus we'll have all the interviews up from tonight, and you can check out last week as well. One of the programs that comes in for the Thursday game to take on West Broward is kind of new to a lot of people, but the coaching is not. Kareem Reed has done an awesome job, no matter where he's been along the way. Definitely a South Florida talent and coached, you know, a lot of really, really good players here in South Florida before taking, as they say, his talents up north. He is the head coach of a really good program, McEachern High School in Powder Springs. Like that. I like Powder Springs. They started off last week with a convincing win over Kell to win 40-0, and they will come in 1-0 on Thursday evening, and it's always exciting to talk to Coach Reed, and we welcome him this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Welcome home on Thursday. I'm glad that you're coming back and certainly bringing a really good team with you.
Blue, it's always a pleasure, man, first of all, to speak with you. Obviously, you covered me during my high school career down there as well as my coaching career, man. So excited to get back home amongst all my friends and family and bringing my program down there to play. Obviously, a South Florida opponent, that's always going to be, you know, a fun and a good metric to kind of measure ourselves against, regardless of who's in their program or who's on their team.
Yeah, that's true. And getting the kids out, you know, I mean, you opened up on the road at Cal. You don't return home till the 4th of September when you play Marietta. Yeah. But this is an opportunity for a bonding. Milton has been down here a couple of times, and they said, you know, the coach, they said that's the best part, you know, when we could travel. You know, we travel, you know, within our area in Georgia, and it's nice, and we take a bus, and it's good. But to get an opportunity to be with a team for a couple of days and, you know, kind of know your teammates a little bit, you know, that's an experience as well. Talk about that, because, I mean, you know this area better than anybody, but your team, most of these kids have never been to South Florida, and this is a opportunity for them to sweat right with us in the humidity and the late afternoon showers that we have, all the things that you loved and you left behind. But talk about this team, because it seems like you got a lot of talent, and your coaching staff is this coaching staff that you brought with you from where you came from?
Yeah, so a lot of you, well, you know, I took this job. I was at the University of Florida before I took this McKeeson job, so When I took this deal, most of the staff, about 70% of them, worked with me previously at one point or another along my journey. And yeah, so I kind of put the band back together a little bit. I retained a couple guys that were already there that are just McEachern people that are really good for the community. But for the most part, all my guys have been with me at some point previously. But no, you're right, man. Like, you know, being able to travel and get on the plane and come down there, we've done a lot of intentional team bonding type activities over this summer leading up to this season, because I did feel as if, you know, we're really talented, but I didn't know how connected we were. And so building off of last year's success, just trying to reinvent myself and try to make things better as we always do every offseason, we thought, you know, we got to be really intentional about getting these guys together. So over the fall, we actually took them about 2 hours east of the city and went to fall camp old school style. We put them in cabins, kind of like a Remember the Titans style, man. Took up phones, and we spent 4 days and 3 nights away, you know, just with each other in camp, grinding on football, and then we did a bunch of stuff together, had some karaoke nights. We kind of cooked for each other, and so we thought it was great, man. The kids enjoyed it. They didn't realize how much they can actually have fun without their phones, and so this is just another opportunity for us, like you said, to bond and connect and kind of, you know, create an experience for our guys that I think they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, this is kind of a young team that you got here. I mean, there's a lot of young kids that did some things last year, a couple of freshmen and sophomore, where there were some juniors and seniors. But this, you're bringing down a team that has, an opportunity to be special for a while. Talk about some of the guys that we expect to see on Thursday evening that have already stepped up for you.
Yeah, no, we're really talented. I mean, this is probably the best, and I've had a lot of good DBs, but this is the deepest secondary I've ever coached. I have 7 defensive backs with Power 4 offers. We got the number one safety in the country in the 2028 class, Casey Barner, who's a 5-star recruit, a number 5 overall player in the country in the 2028 class. He's dynamic. He reminds me a bunch of like a Tyrann Mathieu type player. A lot of people compare him to Caleb Downs. So really, blessed to have him in the program. My corners, one of them, Nash Johnson, is committed to Auburn. My other corner, Caden Battles, committed to Pittsburgh. He had 2 picks last week in our game. My nickel's committed to Auburn as well. So really talented. Both of my linebackers, one is a Georgia commit, and the other is committed to Kennesaw State. So we got a lot of big-time players in our program on the offensive side of the ball. Like you said, I got three 2029 kids that are basically sophomores that are Power 4 players as well, along with the 2028 Zion Robinson that's a 4-star recruit. So, and I got a 6'2", 220-pound running back that's also a sophomore. So, yeah, we're really young, but really, really talented. So, yeah, you guys will see all those kids when we get down there.
Yeah, no doubt. Not only that, I mean, you know as well as I do, Georgia, Florida, both of them are comparable. I mean, you know, team-wise, obviously, the coaching, a lot of people head out there and go up to Georgia from Florida coaching-wise. But Florida talent's Florida talent. You know that. I mean, there's just a they're a special breed. There's a lot of them. I mean, you've had an opportunity to coach down here and you know, coach a lot of really, really impressive kids. Talk about the comparison between the two, because we see it when Florida and Georgia play. I mean, they're always, yeah. You know, those areas always clash. But Georgia-wise, I know South Georgia – really good talent, you know, Camden County. You look at a lot, of, you know, Coffee County, who has like three coaches from the state of Florida, up that way. What, you know, I mean, it seems like they're comparable. You know, it's because we've seen Milton came down a couple years in a row, really good, really well-coached type of team. You know, we've had an opportunity to have, you know, quite a few programs. Talk about it, because you see, I mean, are there the Northwestern Central battles? Are there, you know, the St. Thomas Aquinas's? Are those type of teams, I'm sure, up in that area they have? You know, we remember back in the day when Lowndes County and Valdosta were crazy rivals, and I'm sure they still are. But talk about that coaching up in Georgia and what you've found, you know, as far as a lot of the athletes, because they're very, very good.
Yeah, so I get asked that question a bunch because I have seen it from both sides. Being a Florida guy, obviously I'm slightly biased, but I've cut my coaching teeth, man, in Georgia. And so I say this, you know, South Florida, obviously you're going to get that raw speed, right? And then you're going to get a kid that football kind of defines us down there, right? It's a means to an end. So those guys play with a little bit more of an edge and like a purpose. And I'm not saying that the Georgia kids don't, right? But I will say this, the difference is the infrastructure, right? There's a commitment to high school sports and athletics in the state of Georgia that's unlike a lot of other places besides maybe Texas, right? And so the development piece and the kids, like I feed my players during the season three meals after practice, three meals a week post-practice, right? Wow. We give them breakfast in the morning. We have weight training class every single day. I get my players year-round the last period of the day, so I get 90 minutes with them every day to lift weights, watch film, do whatever we need to do football-wise. And so the development piece is the difference, right? I think you get a more of a – for a college coach, you're going to get a little bit more of a polished product when you recruit the state of Georgia because of that. Those kids know how to operate in a college-style environment because of the structure they have from high school. South Florida, you're going to get a little bit more of a blank canvas, but it's a ton of upside, right, if you can get those guys to stick and kind of figure it out. So I think that's the difference right there. And it, like you said, the coaching, right? So a lot of great coaches, half my staff is from Florida, so it's a home goal for a lot of it. But, I mean, like my defensive coordinator was in Orlando at Ocoee High School. He was the head coach there. I hired him to be my coordinator. I doubled his money, right, as an assistant. And he was the head coach down there. So that's the difference. You know, you're going to get quality coaches here in the state of Georgia. The infrastructure, the players are really good. I say Georgia is kind of the happy medium where I think, you know, Texas, you get a little bit more of a tapped out kid because they've been doing it for so long. You kind of what you see is what you get. Florida, you kind of got a blank canvas. And I think Georgia's right in the middle, right? You kind of got a kid that still has a lot of upside but has a foundation as well. And that's kind of that's the difference I've seen between those states.
Yeah, you can run for office. You're pretty diplomatic, I'll tell you. You did that really well. I think you did that excellent. I mean, yeah, they'll welcome you with open arms. And not only that, you know, the one thing that differs, especially in South Florida, is the inner city schools. A lot of the Atlantas and a lot of these other areas don't have powerhouses within the city. I know Tucker at one time was a big time program, but with you know, from that Dade Broward line all the way down to the, you know, city of Miami with Norland and Northwestern and Central and all those Booker T and all those programs, there's not an area like that because of the fact that, and remember this too, they're all under enrolled. So that means that they could be that endless loop and the James Cooks and all these people could keep coming, you know, year after year, which is not the same as Dallas. The only place that may be comparable to that is Houston, because Houston has that same, you know, North Shore inner city environment. But definitely from top to bottom, Georgia, from the south all the way up to the north, a lot of great football. Thursday night, McEachern. A really good football program is coming down to play West Broward. The Indians are loaded up with a lot of talent. Coach, I can't thank you enough. It was always great talking with you. Be safe on the way home. And as I say home, because this is still your home in a lot of ways. And I know you'll have a lot of family and friends there. And best of luck. And again, thanks so much for clearing a Monday for us.
No problem, Blue. I appreciate it. Look forward to it, man. And God bless.
Good stuff. Coach, I appreciate you. Coach Kareem Reed, the head football coach, Powder Springs, McEachern Indians. They'll be down here on Thursday night as part of the Broward County Showcase. You know, athletes study the playbook. We study the science of the comeback. Let the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute help you recover. Visit uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. When we come back, we got two heavyweights for you. Two teams that'll be back in the showcase this year, Christopher Columbus and head coach Dave Dunn, and Roger Harriott and St. Thomas Aquinas, they're waiting on deck. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us on the South Florida High School Sports Radio Show. On kind of a special night, it's our Broward County National Showcase Countdown game. There's some really good contests on Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, the entire country gets a chance to see four really, really good football teams, the number one and two teams in the country, and some pretty decent talent along the way. And one of the programs that will be in action on Saturday at 2 o'clock will be Christopher Columbus. And Coach Dave Dunn has done an awesome job. Last year kind of fell off, which is a rarity for that program. They're in the mix every single year. But I'll tell you what they did in the offseason, added some pieces, a couple of younger players, matured a little bit, a couple of coaching moves here and there, and they're right back in the mix. Big win over Miramar to kick off Classic. And then last week, a dominating performance over Miami Southridge, a team that obviously has been one of the top ones in the state over the last couple of years. And Coach Dave Dunn is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. I'll tell you what, I mean, you started off with two really good teams, Miramar, physical defense, and then we know Southridge has athletes. It's, you know, they lost a lot of talent, but kind of gets you ready for this little gauntlet that starts on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a matchup. You know, only so many times in your life you get an opportunity to play the number one team in the country. And we're lucky enough to be invited and get a chance to play Gorman on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you got a chance to play the number two team the following week. So it's somebody was kind to you at the same time early on, but this will tell you a little bit about the program. As you said, Gorman, you know, I had a chance to watch him the other night against St. John Bosco. You know, in a game that obviously, you know, pit two really good football teams. How much do you watch of that? I mean, because it's tough really to see if you don't see them live. You know, here you can go and scout and you can see a few other things on the side. But in a game like that, you watch, you know, a film or you watch, you know, the game on, you know, TV and you see a certain amount of things. You don't see a lot of things away from the ball. What do you get out of watching a Gorman team? You know, they're big, you know, they're talented. Do you pick up things that you go, okay, you know, maybe we could, you know, exploit that or that? Are they that good where you say to yourself, you know, there's, you know, they've got to come to town and not play the type of game they played last Friday? Or do you feel going into the game, hey, listen, we don't make mistakes. You know, we got the kids.
Yeah, I think we're, you know, surely more talented than we were last year, no question. You know, they're a very, very good football team. I watched the game live on YouTube on Friday night, and then obviously we exchanged film on Saturday, and I don't know, I've probably watched it 10, 15 times over since then and try to, you know, no different than any opponent we play. You just try to, you know, try to look at their strengths and weaknesses and try to see what you have in your arsenal that can maybe give them some problems. And, you know, everybody, nobody's perfect. They're an extremely talented football team and well-coached. And we're going to have to play our best football game. There's no question. You know, I know our guys will be ready to play. We'll be prepared.
Yeah, and I mean, you've been in big games, and you've been in, you know, in events like this. You know, you play for state titles, you won state titles. You have an opportunity now with a lot of good playmakers. What did you do in the offseason that got you better? I mean, because I asked you that, you know, at one of the media days, and, you know, you said, you know, we added some pieces, but at the same time, our kids really worked hard. You know, we had 100% at all the practices, your weightlifting, your conditioning. Talk about what happened in the offseason that kind of changed the direction of this program from last year.
you know, we really hit a total reset. You know, last year we weren't as talented and played an extremely tough schedule, and it was just kind of, two negative instances kind of colliding at the same time. We're down a little bit, and our schedule was extremely tough, and lost a bunch of close football games, and it kind of made us peel back and analyze everything we do from, you know, our off-season stretch to how we dress in the weight room to how we clean up the weight room. It was really kind of a all hands on deck and attention to detail and set the tone from day one. The additions to the coaching staff has helped as well. You know, I just think we're, you know, brought in some new blood from the outside with some new ideas, and you got to constantly, in a game of football, you got to constantly study and analyze what you're doing and kind of, you know, in this case, we had to reinvent ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember last year you and I we talked, you know, at one of the games, and you looked at me and you said, you know, this is not what we're used to. I mean, because you didn't have a lot of depth on that team. You had some frontline players, but maybe not what you have now or what you've had in the past. You take a look at the competition, and you guys have always played a challenging schedule. For at least the last decade, you've gone on the road and you've played some really, really good football programs. But now you run into this little gauntlet over the next 3 weeks where you step up your game, and I guess you'll know a lot about, you know, what this team's made of with Gorman and then St. Thomas and then a team Palmetto, which is a program obviously last year that came within a 2-point conversion of going to the state championship. What do you learn out of like last week's game against Southridge or the kickoff classic against Miramar? What do you take away from that, coach, moving forward into a game like Saturday?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we don't tackle to the ground as much probably in practices, you know, teams have in the past, just trying to keep everybody healthy. You know, so that was probably a little bit of a question mark going into both those games is how we would tackle. And I thought we tackled well in both Miramar and, the last week against Southridge. That was part of it. And also, sometimes in practice you're standing right behind the kids and it's really easy to tell them what to do. Well, you don't get that opportunity on game day. You know, everything's from the sideline. Obviously, you can't go in the field. So I think just kind of the communication, changing in personnel between special teams, going from offense to defense, tackling live, all those things in the last 2 weeks, I think, have made us a better football team. And I'm glad we have those two games. So you basically have two games to get ready for a team like Gorman instead of playing him in the opener. And so, you know, yeah. I think it really helped us get ready.
No doubt. Coach Dave Dunn joins us, head coach at Miami's Christopher Columbus Senior High School. And, you know, coach, the one thing, too, is, you know, last year you probably didn't have a lot of that leadership. This year you have a couple of seniors that have returned. You have a quarterback like Kai Moore who comes over from Norland, a very intelligent kid. It's on his way to Northern Illinois. Then, obviously, Amir Sears, who's a playmaker, somebody who reclassed. Talk about what that's like to have, you know, those type of playmakers where, you know, you say, hey, listen, you know, last year you kind of had a, you know, kind of put your hands together and kind of pray that you would get a big play here and there. But this year you've got that capability on both sides of the ball. Your defensive line is capable of coming up with a big sack and maybe, you know, turning the game around. And then offensively, you know, with the kid Cecil who runs the ball extremely well and also a quarterback like Kai Moore and Amir Sears. What's it like to have those type of playmakers who at any time could change the course of a game?
It's big for us because last year we really struggled making plays in the pass game. We had Sean James last year was a tremendous running back for us, was first team all day count. He's now playing at Wagner and playing on special teams there. He was our biggest threat and our best player on offense. You know, besides throwing the ball in the backfield, it was handing it off to him so people could really load the box. Now, I just think we're better at quarterback. We're better at receiver than we were last year. And so we're able to exploit some matchups that we weren't in the past. That makes us tougher to defend. And then we have a young man like Cecil Smith who can play running back and receiver. And there's some multiple. And then on defense, too, the same thing. We didn't tackle well in space last year. It's one of the things we analyzed. We got better at it, but we're also more athletic on defense. You know, that helps a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, this is a huge game, nationally televised, big you know, big showcase. This Broward County National Showcase has kind of morphed into something that is being recognized throughout the country. I mean, from last week's game where Mandarin played against MacArthur all the way to your game and St. Thomas's game against DeSoto on Saturday on ESPN. I mean, this is a huge event, and this is something, obviously, I know that your administration, your student body is relishing. And again, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Monday. We'll see you on Saturday. I won't be on your sideline. I'll go in the stands if it takes that to come down with a W. But I you know, I admire what you guys have done, and best of luck this week, and have a great week of practice.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for everything you do for our kids. I really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Coach Dave Dunn, head coach at Christopher Columbus High School right here in Miami. And certainly they have their hands full with the number one team in the country. And you listen, you know what? You go out and play the game. You believe that you have playmakers. He's shown over the last couple of weeks against Miramar in the kickoff classic, and then Southridge in the game against this past week. Listen, you know, you never know what happens. I mean, Gorman's a really good football team, but Columbus has gotten to that point where they're ready for the challenge. Speaking about ready for the challenge, team has been in all five of the Broward County National Showcases, a team that certainly has set standards, seven-time defending state champion. Program that started off in the kickoff classic against Cardinal Mooney over in Sarasota, and then came up with another huge performance against Western to open up the season. They'll be on display 6 o'clock on their home field on Saturday in the Broward County Showcase against DeSoto from Texas. It seemed like we had a push to get a Texas team to come east. They do. We're welcoming in this evening Coach Roger Harriet, the coach of the year from last year. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. I know it's a busy week for you. First of all, let me congratulate you on being the coach of the year. I saw you on TV. You look all dapper on Saturday. You look real good. But thanks so much for taking the time
to join us. To do it.
Yeah, I know this doesn't get old for you, Coach. This is a great opportunity for
your
program.
I love it. I know
you do. And certainly another showcase game against a really, really good team. They throw the St. John Boscos at you and the Bishop Gormans, and certainly just stronger. And talk about what's different about this team, you know, than maybe last year. I mean, it's tough to compare because you're on such a great ride as far as winning all these state champions, but all your teams are different. One year you're strong, you know, on offense. One year you're strong on defense. This year I see a lot of strength on both sides of the ball, and you've got some really good pieces. Talk about this team.
First and foremost, I just want to, you know, thank God and everybody that's involved, you know, specifically you and our Broward Showcase members and our BCAA members. This is just has become a really awesome experience, and we owe a lot of it to you guys who make the sacrifice. So I'm personally grateful. I don't take these type of moments for granted. I think it's really important to, you know, share information. You're one of the guys that actually, you know, disseminate positive information into our community where you know, people are so attracted to, you know, hearing about convoluted issues or conspiracies or difficult situations that, you know, impact us. But you guys really do a great job of picking up the spirits of our community. And I think that, you know, you guys really need to know that. I don't think you hear it often enough, but it is really, really important, especially in this day and age where, you know, interpersonal skills are low, and we just don't interact from a humanistic standpoint as much as we should. So I'm grateful that you guys do this. I know that the toll that it takes on you. I know it's, you know, you guys are extremely busy. So I just want to express my appreciation personally. From a football standpoint, this team is, I would like to say they're really bought in. You know, they have a sense of maturity and devotion. They're dedicated to the St. Thomas Aquinas standard. Just so kind of the way we do things. When people think a standard, they think it's like a source of arrogance, but they don't realize we're really, you know, our standard comes from a biblical faith-based situation. It's not us beating our chest saying, you know, we're the best in, on the planet and blah, blah, blah. It's really about our faith, family, tradition, and excellence that, you know, resonates throughout our whole entire community. We don't feel like we just represent St. Thomas in the Archdiocese, especially in these type, you know, this time of the year. We feel like we represent Broward County, the whole Tri-County area and Florida. And I think it's a great platform, obviously, for these young men on both sides, but you know, wherever they're coming from, to showcase right. their talent and bring positive energy and, you know, and to the entire industry, where there's a lot of speculation about how things are being done now with NIL and the portal and so forth. So, you know, to have these type of moments, I think it's great. This team does a great job of really sharing and expressing what it means to serve in a way that shows true gratitude. You know, we talk about, you know, having a debt of gratitude within our program a lot, and how that really impacts your neurological, you know, faculties, like your endorphin, serotonin, and puts you in a really positive place. But that is a source of service when you talk about a debt of gratitude. It means that you owe somebody something, somebody that has done something extraordinary for you. So that's kind of where this team's mindset is. They're strong leaders. There's a brotherhood. They're devoted to each other. Our program, as you know, Larry, you followed us from the beginning, and look how much it has evolved. And it hasn't just evolved from a talent standpoint. Now, I know we get a lot of ridicule and criticism for being a private school and kids wanting to come to our program and so forth. It's become a place where now people are gravitating to the program because they want a better experience. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Having a faith, academic and athletic experience overall, and doing things the right way and being positive role models and you know, pouring healthy messages into a child's life, that's resonating because of social media and the advancements of technology is resonating throughout our whole entire country and beyond. You know, we had a chance to play in London last year and showcase what, you know, South Florida football is really about. And we did it in a first-class manner, you know. So that's what this team is really about, Larry. They're about serving. They're about sending a message. They really are about advancing the gospel, because that's who we are at St. Thomas, about sending a positive message out into the community and saving lives and really focused on salvation. I know it sounds cliche, but that's who we really are. When we're working out, Larry, if you just popped up into our weight room, you're going to hear gospel music. You know, you're going to hear the players saying amen and doing things that really reflect the character of Christ and who we truly are, regardless of what your religious background is. It doesn't matter to us. We're all brothers and sisters on this planet, and we just got to figure out a better way, and we feel like we have the platform to do that.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, a lot of the former players come back and, you know, they get involved. I know you have that night of Thanksgiving where a lot of the, you know, when you have practice and a lot of the former players come back and, you know, kind of give their word of encouragement to a lot of the younger kids.
They're coming back to work, Larry. They're coming back to the school to work, to substitute, to teach. They're coming back to coach in different aspects, like, you know, so that says something about the program.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously as a coach and watching a lot of your players graduate and go on to college and then into the NFL, that's got to feel really special to you and a lot of the longtime coaches like Coach Scott and some of the other coaches who've been there for a long time to see a lot of these young men who you got as kids at 14, 15 years old that have families now. And talk about that, because I think that's an important part of it as well.
Yeah, those kids are, you know, those guys are not kids anymore. They're married, they're in life, and they feel like they have a great foundation that was established, you know, prior to going to college. And, you know, I give our youth league programs their flowers. I know that we have a certain reputation around the country, you know, with regards to being aggressive, but we have a lot of moms and dads that are really devoted to the lifestyle of, you know, athletics in South Florida, specifically football. You know, I try to explain to people beyond South Florida that this is not you know, recreational to us. This is actually a way of life. And you will, and you know, we as high school coaches owe a debt of gratitude to the youth league guys who shepherd them into our programs and allow us to help them evolve, because a lot of them, Larry, stay in their lives too. You know, you don't hear about those unsung heroes in the youth league who continue to go to their high school games, continue to college, you know, talk to them through college, talk to them through their, you know, some of the difficulties they're having in their relationships, or, you know, what they're going through in their recruiting process. So, man, yeah. I give a shout out to all the youth league coaches. I appreciate them for what they do, you know.
I agree. I got three things for you before I let you go. First, when are we going to see Reed Harriet? Is he a next year varsity guy or what?
Yeah, he's bouncing back and forth. We call him swing guys, but he'll have his first JV game. He's dressed for a couple varsity games and had an opportunity to get in at the end of the Cardinal Mooney game. Meaning, our freshman guys didn't really get a chance to get in during Western. You know, that score really didn't depict the actual game. You know how that goes sometimes. Western's a tough
team.
Yeah,
no, I know.
They're gonna win a lot of games this year. You know, it just kind of got away from them, you know, towards the end. Reed will be playing tomorrow against Monarch in JV.
Okay. My second thing is, when you do hang this up, and I hope it's not for a long, long time, but I've got the perfect replacement for you, because I've watched him. He's like a mini you. When you in the cafeteria and running up and down and banging on the tables and stuff like that, your replacement will be Zayden Gamble. I'm telling you, that guy, he is so much like you. I mean, he's got the spirit to him. He talks religion all the time. I mean, he's perfect.
He speaks the message. He does.
And then the final thing is, when am I going to be invited for breakfast at the Georgia Pig? It's funny you said that.
I was just telling Coach yesterday. I said, Coach, we need to start inviting people here so it can be like an informal just hanging out, asking questions. Man, you're always welcome to come. You're always welcome to come by, Larry.
I love it. Coach, I can't thank you enough. I'll see you on Saturday evening. I appreciate you as always, and keep doing what you do, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Go, hey, Columbus, go get them guys, man. We're rooting for you.
Okay. I love it. I love that Archdiocese brothership. All right, Coach, we'll see you on Saturday. Good stuff. Roger Harriet, head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, from the weekend warrior to the starting lineup, the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute helps every athlete recover their game. Visit uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. We take our final timeout on a Monday evening. We'll come back and wrap things up. Larry Bluestein, Dan Day, back to wrap things up with you. What a great show here on Monday. If you didn't have an opportunity to listen to all of our six interviews, you can go to WQAM.com, go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and South Florida High School Sports. You'll be able to get tonight, last week, any interviews that we've had. We've had a lot of college coaches in this cycle and great athletes as well. Thanks to James Knapp, President and CEO of the Broward Education Foundation. Their Broward Showcase is in full swing this weekend with eight more games. Also, Danny Enriquez from Canes Insight Sports joined us, talk University of Miami football. They open up next Friday in California against Stanford. Thanks to Coach Chris Yergin, the head coach at Coconut Creek, who will be one of the showcase teams. Also a showcase team, what about Powder Springs McEachern High School from Georgia? Coach Kareem Reed, former South Florida standout and coach as well. They'll be down here for a Thursday evening game. And then we rounded it out with Coach Dave Dunn, the head coach at Christopher Columbus. They'll be in action on ESPN on Saturday at 2:00 against the number one team in the nation, Bishop Gorman, and then Roger Harriet, the head football coach, seven-time defending state champion, St. Thomas Aquinas, rated number two in the country, will take on DeSoto of Texas. Dan Day, thanks so much for sitting in. As always, a great job. We will see you next Wednesday. Don't forget, Wednesday we'll be here at 6, short show, 6-7, lead into the Miami Marlin baseball game. Thanks. Have a great week. Don't forget to get out and support high school football.